In 600 BCE, the first official currency of the Lydian stater was minted. Now, the coins were a mixture of gold and silver, with pictures stamped on them for differentiation of values. We have come a long way since then, and with almost every other aspect of life finding a digital component, it was only time before money became an option. Enter the world of cryptocurrency. And while many have yet to understand the system fully, its popularity quickly grew as individuals wanted to financial transactions without relying on governments or banks. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this episode of 360 View, we are going to look at the rapid growth of a crypto and what it says about the sentiment towards government and if it will be able to survive the recent scandals plaguing the digital currency. Let's get started. The fall of FTX has been closely watched around the world. Will this also lead to the end of other cryptocurrencies as we know it? Well, our international correspondent Roxana Solano breaks down the craze of crypto. Roxana?
Scotty, when CEO Sam Bankman-Fried filed bankruptcy, leading to the collapse of FTX, this jump-started many investigations, including from the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Department of Justice, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. While Bankman-Fried made multiple appearances after his fall from FTX in the media, he never discussed if he is liable for the company's failures or loss of billions. It wasn't until the FTX founder was arrested in the Bahamas he could no longer evade questioning. Bahamas Prime Minister Philip Davis tweeted a press statement saying, "While the United States is pursuing criminal charges against FTX individually, the Bahamas will continue its own regulatory and criminal investigation into the collapse of FTX, while the continued cooperation of its law enforcement and regulatory partners in the United States and elsewhere." The fall of FTX has sent shockwaves through the world of cryptocurrency. It could change the future of crypto as we know it. FTX became one of the largest cryptocurrency in the world that is to mega marketing deals with the like of Steve Curry and Tom Brady. Now, with the company's sudden solvency and loss of faith from customers, other rivals like Coinbase and Bitcoin are beginning to worry. Each saw their worth fall drastically in the weeks after FTX collapse. But what led people to invest in these alternative currencies to begin with? Is it just that people are looking to get in the ground floor of the next big thing? Is it just for the rich with extra money to spend looking for the hot new way to burn it? Cryptocurrencies begin in popularity as an untraceable, untaxable, and unregulated form of currency exchange. Unfortunately, with the fall of FTX, this has led to investigations that could actually enact new regulations on this type of currencies, causing crypto to lose its initial appeal. Sam Bankman-Fried is facing a total of 12 charges. SBF, as he is referred as, is currently awaiting trial, roaming free on a $250 million bail bond. I'm Roxana Solano for 360 View. Back to you, Scotty.
Very interesting to watch as this will have an effect on other possible trials that happen with crypto down the road. Thanks, Roxana. Joining me now to discuss is Arthur E. Wilmarth, a professor at GW Law School here in Washington, D.C., author of Taming the Mega Banks, Why We Need a New Glass-Steagall Act, and he has also testified before committees of the U.S. Congress, the California Legislature, and the D.C. Council on Financial Regulatory Issues. Thank you so much for joining me, Professor Wilmarth. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Okay, so cryptocurrency has only been around for about a decade. It's not a simple subject, yet it gained very rapid popularity around the world. Why do you feel this is, and are there any common factors amongst those who are attracted to this form of currency?
Well, I think it mirrors a lot of other so-called innovative waves that we've seen in history. The recent wave with cryptocurrencies looks a lot like the dot-com boom that happened in the 1990s, for example, where people said, well, this is the next big thing, and the normal rules of financial gravity don't apply, that the technology will carry itself. I think this had an additional wrinkle, which was that it wasn't just investing in high-flying stocks. It was investing in a whole new class, as you say, of currency, which wasn't really linked to anything other than the companies that issued it. And the notion was that, well, this was an entirely new form of financial services outside the normal regulatory system. And somehow this would give people who weren't involved with mainstream finance, as I think your presenter indicated, a chance to get on the ground floor. And there was a lot of marketing saying, you know, don't miss out on this unbelievable opportunity to become rich literally overnight, or at least within a few months. And I'm afraid a lot of people, you know, fell for this, to their misfortune, that a lot of unsophisticated, poorly informed investors, you know, put a lot of money into cryptocurrencies as they were peaking, and then lost a lot when they crashed.
Well, it's interesting. You do bring up several reasons why people were attracted to it. But I also have to ask, do you believe that this rise in this, what's considered to be an alternative currency, has anything to do with the insecurity felt by the public regarding their own financial security being controlled by a government?
Yes, I think that certainly the pandemic, you know, crash and then the boom that followed it, all the stimulus money coming out into households, and people becoming disenchanted with traditional forms of investment, which follow their own, you know, boom and crash cycles, they felt that that this would not be manipulated by government. This would be somehow free of government finagling, you might say. The problem is that it was also free of government regulation, so there were no real restraints on the ability of cryptocurrency providers to engage in classic, you know, pump and dump, market manipulation, Ponzi scheme type of pyramid scheme types of frauds, which unfortunately we've now seen played out with the crashes of Terraform, Celsius, Voyager, you know, on and on, most recently FTX. These look a lot like the classic Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme, pump and dump schemes we've seen repeatedly in financial markets, particularly where they're not regulated.
Professor, I want to get to the government regulations later because it's definitely something we need to address. But I also want to talk about another element is a third-party option in regards to crypto. And that would actually be, forget the government, but you get bank oversight. Could this be, do you think, an acceptable compromise?
Yes, I think the problem we're seeing already is that some banks have gotten heavily involved in cryptocurrency activities. For example, Signature Bank was holding a lot of the deposit accounts of Celsius when Celsius failed. We now find out that Silvergate Bank was holding deposits of FTX when FTX failed. Not clear, you know, where those deposits are and who will get access to them. FTX also made it through Alameda an investment in a small bank currently known as Moonstone Bank. It's not clear, you know, their deposits went up by some tens of millions of dollars afterwards. It's not clear, you know, what the story is behind that. Currently, Sophie Bank is engaged in cryptocurrency trading activities, but is under a temporary authority to allow them to do that for the next few years. And again, this seems to me very poorly thought out because we haven't had a systematic review of this problem and regulators really haven't come up with a systematic approach. I mean, I've argued that for firms that are offering so-called stable coins that promise that they're gonna maintain, let's say, one-to-one parity with the dollar, that has to be done by FDIC-insured banks, inside FDIC-insured banks that are fully regulated, because that's essentially money. I think what we're seeing is if you allow what looks like money to be created outside government regulation, government control, particularly outside the banking system, all sorts of problems develop. People begin to think that what they're holding is just as good as money, but it's not regulated like money. It's not controlled like money.
Well, so it's interesting because you've mentioned several banks, but you also mentioned already several forms of crypto there is. Do you think it helps or hurts the crypto industry that there are actually thousands, I think almost more than 9,000 different crypto options available? And do you think this makes the currency, like you mentioned, that's one of the reasons why we can have fraud and the lack of accountability?
Well, certainly we should distinguish between, I think, two major types of cryptocurrencies. One I would generally call variable rate or variable interest cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin, for example, or Ethereum, that their value goes up and down. It's not pegged to anything else other than its own supposedly intrinsic value. That looks like very much like an investment to me, whether it's a security or a commodity is the source of active debate. But certainly one should think that the SEC, with regard to cryptocurrencies that should be viewed as securities, and the CFTC with regard to those that should be viewed as commodities, should be actively involved, both with issuers and exchanges, to make sure that the traditional investment protections that we are familiar with for securities and commodities are applied. And if there are gaps in those protections, Congress ought to fill them. The other general category is, again, this notion of stable coins, that it's a cryptocurrency, a digital coin that promises that it maintains parity with a currency, almost always the U.S. dollar. To me, that kind of cryptocurrency is money. It's really equivalent. It should be viewed as equivalent to an FDIC insured deposit. And then for me, that means that it ought to be in an FDIC insured bank, regulated like other FDIC insured deposits are regulated, to give people the absolute protection that they're going to be able to get their money out dollar for dollar when they need it.
After the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Wilmarth about whether governments will get more involved in the currency.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again,
you probably don't want to watch it because it might just change the way you think.
We are going to continue our conversation with Professor of Law Arthur E. Wilmarth, an author of Taming the Megabanks, Why We Need a New Glass-Steagall Act, and has testified before several committees, including the U.S. Congress, California Legislature, and the D.C. Council on Financial and Regulatory Issues. Thank you so much for continuing to chat with us, as obviously this is going to be a conversation that's going to happen in the future. And President Biden of the United States actually in the spring of 2022 signed this order for oversight of cryptocurrency. What did that order do, and was it actually a good move for a head of state to get involved in a currency still trying to figure its way out?
Well, I think that the executive order really called upon the different agencies of the federal government to develop, if you like, action plans to deal with the growing risks and challenges posed by digital assets of different kinds, including cryptocurrencies. Certainly, stable coins is a part of that universe. You also have congressional committees looking at this issue, and several bills have been floated. I've been very concerned that some of the congressional bills that we're seeing, really try to approach to adopt what I call sort of regulation light approach. Let's set up a special program for cryptocurrencies or stable coins that has less than the normal protections we would expect for investments in securities or commodities when we talk about variable interest or variable rate cryptocurrencies, or less than the protection and accountability we have for bank deposits with the FDIC system and the Federal Reserve system that supports it. My view is we can't treat these cryptocurrencies as something different in kind. They're simply a digital representation of the same kinds of investments and the same kinds of deposits that we've seen in traditional finance. If we treat them differently, they're not going to be properly regulated. People are going to be disappointed in what happens to them. And then they're going to turn to the government and say, look, I mean, you claimed that you were taking care of this situation, but in fact, you didn't give us equivalent oversight and protection as we have with the SEC, the CFTC, the FDIC, and the Fed. So this notion of creating an alternative system that somehow is promoting innovation, I think, is a very bad idea. Unfortunately, one of the innovations that often occurs is fraud when something isn't properly regulated, and we've certainly seen that in very bright colors with the FTX collapse.
Okay, so moving on from the United States, obviously it's not a small world after all. What effect do you believe crypto has had on the global economic market, and what do you predict for the future?
Well, certainly every government is going to have to grapple with this same issue. And there's a big question about whether global regulators can agree upon a common set of regulations to deal with cryptocurrencies and stable coins. Certainly, as we've seen with FTX that chose at different times to locate itself in Hong Kong or Singapore or the Bahamas, Binance, no one exactly knows where it's located. These other firms have generally been located in offshore jurisdictions with very weak forms of regulation. Certainly, we have to avoid this race to the bottom problem, because if global regulators don't adopt a common approach that is satisfactory and adequate, it will certainly encourage operators to run to the jurisdiction with the weakest form of regulation. And unfortunately, with the internet, it's not very feasible to sort of say, well, okay, you may be in a weak jurisdiction with poor regulation, but you can't reach our investors. We know that people can, unfortunately, reach people worldwide through the internet, even when they're prohibited to do so. You know, how do you stop that from happening?
Well, it's interesting, because as you go through all these different things, and not only in the United States, but across the globe, fraud is going to show up. What is one of the few things that you would suggest could be done to help combat fraud within crypto, not only in the United States, but across the globe?
Well, certainly, I think it's important that regulators work through the Basel Committee, the Financial Stability Board, the International Monetary Fund, other international bodies to develop common standards and to develop penalties for those who don't follow them. Through our financial criminal enforcement network, FinCEN, and Treasury sanctions, you know, we have other ways of dealing with things like money laundering, sanctioning terrorist funding, and things like that. So there are other ways that we can deal with it, but I think that it's important that we work through international bodies to try to develop a robust and adequate oversight and safeguards for these sort of, I call them make-believe currencies, because when you look at Bitcoin, what's behind it? I mean, there's no intrinsic value behind it. It's just that the feeling is sort of the greater fool theory. Somebody else will pay more for it than I paid. And I think that's a very poor basis to encourage people to invest.
Well, and it's real interesting about this, but I have to ask, you know, as recently we've learned not only about the arrest of Sam Davis-Fried, which affected the trust in crypto, I want to know, how do you feel about these private individuals using crypto to interact with government? Should governments be taking forms of payments from private individuals via a system that's still so insecure, unregulated, like crypto is at this point?
Right. One of the most troubling aspects of the Sam Bankman-Fried story and the FTX story is that they were funneling tens of millions of dollars into our political system. I mean, he was one of the largest donors to political campaigns during the 2022 cycle. And they were definitely, he and others were definitely trying to influence legislation and as in my view, get light touch, inadequate regulation. I think this should be considered quite an embarrassment to those who accepted his campaign contributions at the same time as they were considering legislation to regulate what he was offering. I think this should be considered a lesson for our political system, that we should be we should have oversight and accountability of people who are funneling money into our political system at the very same time they're trying to get advantageous regulatory treatment for so-called innovative products. That to me is usually a recipe for fraud and misconduct.
And that's one of those things that you wonder, will they actually want to self-police themselves, given the point? It's kind of like asking the kid with the cookie jar to regulate themselves. It's almost making the opportunity too much that they can pass up. Ultimately,
right.
Looking into the future.
Yes. He was considered a great celebrity, right, when he was passing around all this apparently free money. But now we find out that a lot of it was actually his customers' money that he was misappropriating. If you read the indictments and the charges from the SEC and the CFTC that have been leveled against him.
Well, it's interesting, you know, going on this, continuing on the aspect of this, you know, some people, including Pete Buttigieg, has said that he's going to return the money, the campaign money that he was given. He already actually did that. Do you think others who contributed, or do you foresee others actually giving their contributions back as well?
I would suspect some. I would be surprised if all did, but I suspect as the as disclosure is made about how much different campaigns received, there will certainly be, I think, public pressure to do that. And I think that it really should, I would hope that Congress would begin with a completely clean slate and not try to push forward legacy bills that were being aggressively lobbied by Sam Bankman-Fried and other cryptocurrency operators in 2021 and 2022. I think we need a new slate after thoroughly investigating exactly what happened, because as I have said, I see a real commonality, a real common pattern emerging from what I've read of these various collapses of Terraforms, Voyager, Celsius, and now FTX. There's a very disturbing pattern of commingling customer funds, misappropriation, false promises, market manipulation. It fits a very disturbing and I think outrageous pattern that should cause us to completely rethink our approach to this whole area.
Which brings the question, speaking of what you just said, all of the different reasons that are coming to light about crypto, even after 10 years, why would someone today still want to invest into the currency. And when you look at their options, are the majority of them coming from the United States? Or are we seeing more and more options coming from other countries?
Right. This is a problem, because I've been saying for several years now that I couldn't see any investment case, for particularly, the so-called variable rate cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, other than the greater fool theory that somebody else will pay more for it than you did, which is a very bad. That's essentially a pyramid scheme. And there certainly has been pretty strong evidence of market manipulation in cryptocurrencies by the promoters. So I've never invested, and I wouldn't encourage anyone else to do so. But I think that therefore there's really a strong case for more aggressive regulatory action than we've already seen. I mean, the action against Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX. And Alameda is welcome, but there's a question as to why it didn't occur, at least a year ago. I think that there were questions being raised for a number of months about the operation that was going on.
Well, thank you, Arthur E. Wilmarth, for such an in-depth conversation about crypto. We'll talk to you soon. I have little doubt the reason why so many around the world embrace cryptocurrencies so quickly was because of their own fear and doubt in the established systems already in place, and for good reasons. Many investors believe it can hold its worth during times of rising inflation and economic stress, which is something almost every country around the globe is dealing with. The more uneasy someone feels about their own current government and the economy, the more they look to secure somewhere else. Now, psychologists say one of the other strongest factors influencing crypto trading is FOMO, the fear of missing out. Now, this comes from a history of booms like the dot-com era and Apple, where people invested early and made millions all in a short term. And while we hear often of those companies and ideas which were successful, there was a far greater number which failed, either because of a faulty product or faulty management. This is the risk which comes with any relatively new product. And while little or no oversight is one of the major attractions, having no structure makes it ripe for corruption and fraud, as we are seeing now emerge. Because of this, one day, will cryptocurrency have to accept government involvement all in order to survive? The one institution which motivated its creation in the very first place. Only time will tell. I'm Skynell Hughes with your 360 View. Thank you for watching.